Information-fueled, opinion-driven. This is the Dan Mandis Show, Supertalk 99.7.
It is Supertalk 99.7 WTN. It is the Dan Mandis Show, special
edition. Yay, everybody, Dan Mandis. Let everybody have a big hand for Dan Mandis. Yay! All right. You deserve that, Dan.
Thank you, Ralph. So appreciated. Special edition town hall meeting on Governor Haslam's transportation funding plan. Lots of great conversation so far. We've been doing this for an hour. We've got perhaps another 30 minutes to an hour left, if not more. So a lot of great questions are coming in via Twitter at Dan Mandis Show. And one of the questions that is being asked numerous times is this, and this comes from Joseph Hodge. Someone has to ask if the fuel taxes in the transportation department are actually being used for the roads. We get a couple $1 million every single year for this, and are they being used appropriately?
Are they being used? And is this new tax increase going to be used only for roads?
Absolutely.
Who? Jim Tracy wants to answer.
Yes, 91% of the money that comes in goes for roads and bridges. What happens, and it's a great question. Me being chairman for the last 10 years, I get that question every year. It's people get confused with federal and state. Our federal, I can't deal with what the federal do. They use a lot of their money for things that we don't in Tennessee. We're very efficient with what we do.
Greenways? Federal money goes to greenways and state money doesn't? Yes. That's basically what we're talking about right here. Bicycle paths?
Well, nearly all of it comes from the federal government for that. I'm not saying that there's not some little bitty piece. I think just a little bitty piece for
I have to ask a question that has been asked of me on the radio repeatedly, both on the air and off, and I think Dave's probably the right person to ask this. Is this going to somehow be a windfall for companies that sell gasoline in that they're going to be bringing in more money? And the theory is that they will get to hold on to that tax for 20 days, collect a little interest on it before they send it to the state. So this is going to be a windfall for specifically Pilot Oil, is the name mentioned most often.
Absolutely.
Dave, do you want to answer that? Or,
yeah, I would love or to, Barry? Because I have a constituent back home
that owns 42 Quick Mart stores, many of which on the state line. So I want you to understand that as we raise the gas tax, then they're less competitive than they're across the state line border. Now, I happen to know because I ate lunch with Mac McCutcheon, the new Speaker of the House of Alabama, over the Christmas break. They tried to get the gas tax last year in Alabama, failed because they tried to do indexing, and it failed miserably. This year, they're coming back, and they're not going to do indexing. So knowing, and Alabama is in terrible financial shape in comparison to Tennessee. So they have to have new revenue. We need new revenue for roads. But as our gas goes up, more and more people leave them and go where it's cheaper. So it's going to be opposite a windfall for them.
To be clear and specific, Governor Haslam's family is not going to get a windfall from this?
Absolutely not.
Absolutely. They're
Ralph, one
Andy
quick
Ogle,
thing. As a matter of fact, the convenience store.
Ogle get back
okay.
Here. Okay. It's been a while since the opposition has spoken much.
Ralph, if I could just jump in. This is Paul Bailey, just before my good friend Andy goes. The tax is actually collected when it comes into the state, either at the barge port or at the pipeline port, either by a company like Shell is actually paying that revenue to the state. That's on the number of gallons that come in. It's not the distributor.
When I buy gas, they're just getting reimbursed for that?
Yes, exactly.
Okay. Exactly. Andy Ogle.
Andy Ogles, again, thank you. I just want to correct a couple of stats. Currently, 2016, we're ranked the second best roads in the country. And as far as efficiency goes, we're ranked, the Reason Foundation has a highway report that looks at all states, and we're 18th in the nation as far as efficiency. And what they look at is cost per mile, employees per mile, and maintenance per mile. And they look at all the states, and so it's really just a data-driven, non-biased report, and we're 18th. And I think what that tells us is there is room to improve efficiency at TDOT. Is that a magic silver bullet? Of course not. But as you look at government, you're always wanting to look for ways and areas where you can cut money. But one of the things, or a couple of points I wanted to make out, one is when you talk about the sales tax and it's paid by Tennesseans, keep in mind We have a lot of travelers to this state. Mm-hmm. So that trucker from Delaware or Michigan or that person that goes to Pigeon Forge after the fire, you know, a portion of their sales tax could go to roads. And a perfect example would be, you know, what creates the wear and tear on our roads? It would be automobiles. Why not take the sales tax off of automobiles, the primary cause, trucks and automobiles, but it obviously is directly related to transportation. We take that sales tax and we fix our roads. And so we're here advocating to spend at least $2 billion more on roads. We understand that by investing in our infrastructure, we'll continue to attract companies. The question is how do we get those monies? And then I think you look at TDOT's own numbers. The gas tax as a long-term solution for funding roads is unsustainable. If you look at 1990, we are getting roughly 45, 47 less dollars than we were per car in 1990. You fast forward 10, 15 years, we're going to be getting 100 less dollars from cars as a funding mechanism for roads. So just like I would diversify my savings, I would diversify my portfolio, let's look at other mechanisms for funding our roads where we diversify our portfolio. And there have been other states that have used sales tax. I spoke with, again, the Reason Foundation, and they cautioned that the problem with the sales tax, and I think we have to admit the risks with any tax, is that if you don't have a cap on it or if you don't have a sunset on it, what it becomes is a funding mechanism that grows out of control, which is the last thing we want, right? But again, you know, cars are going to continue to become more efficient. There are going to be new
technologies. But you think we can diversify that portfolio and maintain the connection between the users of the roads and the payers for the
And with the vehicles being a very logical way that we could do that.
We have go to our first, maybe only media question, and that's going to go to a representative of the
Super Talk 99.7 WTN. It is 1:12. We will join the town hall meeting on the gas tax in just a moment. We'll take this quick break and we'll return in just a moment. It is downstairs in our studio.
Tax, those are going to be returned now to the highway fund. Did you say that earlier?
Yeah, as part of the Governor's Improve Act, the 2% that would on the new monies that would otherwise be redirected to the general fund, it's totals about, I think, under his proposal, about $5 million, and it would be used for transportation.
So only the new money, not the money that's currently going,
correct,
that's in that report that you referred to?
Correct.
Okay. So we still have money that is not going towards roads, as we discussed earlier.
Go ahead, Barry.
Finish the question. I'll direct it to who wants to
answer. So just to clarify it, that report that you referred to that was done by the Comptroller's Office says that 1.6% of the gas tax, 2%
right,
of the diesel tax, and 2% of the special petroleum tax doesn't go to the highway fund. It goes to the general fund.
Right. And what is the reason for that? And does that fit? If that were not the case, how much difference would that make?
It's I think it was just 12.
An audience member said 23 million. Okay.
I believe it's just 12.
Senator Tracy's looking for that. Dave, do you have? Okay. Senator Tracy has.
Here's what we got. Right now, 91% of TDOT dollars go right back to the people of Tennessee in the form of construction, maintenance, and preservation and grants. 2% in fees to other agencies, 2% in equipment and facilities, 3% in field operations, 2% in administration. So you have administration that in administration of administrating the TDOT, that's the 2%. So it's a small amount of money. I mean, ours is pretty efficient run. I'm not saying there's not some things we can look at to tighten it down, but we'll continue to do that. I'm going to tell you we will. But that is a very finite, small amount of money. If it was $23 million in 2016, that's a very small amount of money in dealing with roads. That means that we're running it much more efficient. You take a nonprofit, if they're running that good on a nonprofit, that's pretty good. Barry,
and Ralph, this whole message is or debate is progressing toward whether we should take money from sales tax or should we make it a user fee. So I want to point out to you that even though we may be the most 18th.
Or can we do both? By only using a sales tax that goes to
absolutely
those things that use the roads and bridges?
I've got an analogy I think is very important, and it will, I think, cause you to stimulate your thought on this. 15 years ago, the state of Tennessee developed a program where they charge general contractors, cosmetologists, or whatever. Everybody pays a fee. That fee money goes into an account, and out of that fee, they hire inspectors to inspect us and also investigators for consumer protection. So when, and especially today with so many cosmetologists and so many different colors and treatments to the hair, there's a lot more need to do that. But the cosmetologist licensing fee pays for the inspectors and the investigators to respond to consumer products. Now, as the cosmetologists increase and there's more problems in that arena, should we, A, go up on their licensing fee to fund more inspectors? That's the way the legislature had set it up. Or should we tax contractors because cosmetologists need more inspectors? Or C, let's do the easy thing. Let's go get some sales tax revenue and dump over in there in it so all of you help pay for the cosmetologist problem. I think all of you will agree, if there's more problems in cosmetology, then their fee needs to be raised so that they can hire more inspectors to respond to your problems with them. And I think everybody will agree. And that's the same thought that we're saying here on roads. The people that use the roads need to pay for the roads. And when we go grab sales tax, that's the easy thing. And it was to be the easiest vote for all of us, guys, because we don't have to raise your taxes. We don't have to lower your taxes. The easy thing to do is go grab surplus, dump in this problem, and we don't have to do
Laura,
anything.
Laura, do you have a follow-up, or can we go? Brian Terry wants to get in on this. Do you have
a
follow-up?
Well, I just wanted to make the point and that if we're going to say that it's a user fee, shouldn't the inverse also be true, that all of the user fee get put only towards roads?
Absolutely.
And when we're taking money out of the city gas tax portion for supporting the UT extension service or education service, and the county portion, it's right in that report. That county portion, CTAS is funded out of it. Read the report. I have the reference here. So,
And it's one of the things you could look at. You just have to look at how you fill it from the general fund.
Representative Terry.
Right. But when we're talking about a user fee and we want that dedicated towards what's being used, that's not going in the opposite direction. So that, I guess that's what I was looking for input on. Thank you.
Thank you for that question. As far as a user fee goes, you know, we've talked about the gas tax and how we're getting less bang for our buck and how it's becoming less and less efficient. Well, if you if you carry that on out, for lack of a better term, pardon the pun, but the fossil fuel tax is going to be a dinosaur. So you do have to look at something, some other way of funding this. And so do you go towards sales tax? I mean, looking at a user fee, you know, I don't use TennCare, but I pay into TennCare. You know, that's how our taxes go. We have some people out there, you know, aren't the, you know, Department of Corrections. They don't do that. Schools, higher education, taxpayers subsidize between 25% and 75% of higher education, and there are the working class out there that may not ever set foot at MTSU, but they're going to be paying into this, and they're not a, you know, that's not a user fee. I mean, they're paying into the universities.
Listen, if I could figure out a way to do it, I would make all taxes user fees. I would direct all tax revenue toward what it goes to.
Absolutely.
Unfortunately, that's not quite possible in government. In many areas, government acts more like an insurance policy.
This one is, right.
But transportation has always been something where we've kind of been dedicated to keeping that more pure than most of the rest of government funding, so that we could see the relationship between the revenue coming in and that going out and know if something needs to be done one way or the other.
And I would agree with you on that, but I mean, if you look at it, auto sales, you know, when you go to AutoZone, when you get your oil changed, you're paying sales tax on that as well. So
I think you might be picking up some agreement that there are other ways to keep it a user fee, but expand the portfolio, as Andy mentioned.
Well,
get in on that a little bit?
Sure. I mean, I would say the governor's proposal, the IMPROVE Act, I mean, does diversify a little. I mean, he made a comprehensive effort to not just focus on gas and diesel. So you're talking about the open container law. You're talking about the 3% on rental cars. You're talking about the electric vehicle registration fee. You're talking about fees on or the incremental increase in CNG, LG, and LNG. So, you know, there are alternative fuels coming, being increasingly used by the UPSs, by the FedExes, et cetera. And so, obviously, you know, the world's changing very fast, to Representative Terry's point. And so what we're looking at is, again, a transportation funding mechanism that is increasingly geared towards just maintenance and not a network that can handle. I mean, we all know the gentleman that talked about moving here because of the cost of living, he unfortunately left, but people are moving here. We expect 2 million more people in Tennessee by 2040. And so we have to have a network that can handle that capacity. And if we're increasingly moving towards or have a mechanism that only handles maintenance, then, you know, we're going to be behind the eight ball. I think one of our challenges is that our network is so highly regarded, so highly ranked. And so people look around and they notice the difference when they cross the state line and you go into Georgia and you're like, dang.
We need to take a break.
Yeah, we do. And coming up next, by the way, some questions from the studio audience, maybe another Twitter question as well, at Dan Mandis Show. And I think so far it's been a pretty good conversation. Looking forward to a lot more as we continue here. It is the Governor Bill Haslam, his possibility maybe of getting a gas tax and a raising the gas tax. We have a lot more to talk about as we return next here on Super Talk 99.7 WTN.
On the next Phil Valentine Show, our expert talks about the new SCOTUS nominee. We'll talk about it after 3 on Super Talk 99.7.
It is Super Talk 99.7 WTN, Dan Mandis Show, special edition town hall meeting on Governor Haslam's transportation funding plan. A great conversation so far, and Tom has a question. Go ahead.
Hi, I'm Tom Arnold, Jr. I am a member of the Tennessee Railroaders Association and the Tennessee Trucking Association, and I'm against the gas tax. I'm also a libertarian who believes that taxation is theft. And the first premise that you guys make, I've been doing this 35 years, building roads and trucking. My dad's been doing it for 62. My granddad started in the 20s. My first question you guys make, you presume that TDOT is an efficient branch of government. And in the last 35 years, I've seen a whole lot of waste of money go through TDOT. So until you're willing to drain the swamp, you need to be redirecting. You seem to make the presumption that all of the that when the TDOT engineers and the commissioners sit down with you guys, that everything they say is just rosy.
It doesn't impress you that we are on record as being like the 18th most efficient state.
Number one is in that. Mr. Tracy brought up the fact about the percentage that still goes to the general fund for administrative costs. Well, If TDOT has its own administrative costs, then why that should come out of their road building fund? Finally, would somebody actually explain the index? Because I know my organization at Road Builders has been promoting that for many years, and you know, and of course,
we'll
you all say
Dave
it's not going
to
happen.
Explain that, and he's got a couple of other points that he wants to make.
I'm glad you brought up indexing and just what the governor's proposal says is it would be indexed to the consumer price index. And just so for point of reference, had the 1989 increase been indexed, we wouldn't be having this discussion. Because it would have raised, I'm not going to remember the stat.
No, we'd have higher taxes.
What's that?
We'd have higher taxes.
Sure. Correct. and we wouldn't be in the situation we are in with our our funding network. Let me just finish, please. And the reason you've done it is so we don't have to have this conversation again. And so he's thrown out just indexing it to CPI. He's thrown out he's proposed that we cap it. And I think part of the discussion, as long as we all understand that there's a need, part of the discussion is about how much do we cap it? Do we delay it 3 or 4 years? I mean, so we
but doesn't
just,
it also go to Andy's point that this is obviously it's a structurally inefficient, constant, reliable revenue stream. If you can't rely on it without having an index on the rate, then it's not a reliable stream.
Well, we shouldn't
it?
Pretend that the sales tax. I mean,
so
the sales tax is a reliable thing.
Something else we can put in that portfolio to make it more reliable without having to increase taxes every year.
Right, but I mean, just to get to the reallocate, people have been talking about reallocation. And again, I would go back to the point that I made earlier, is that the budget surplus, it's not money that's just, it's not money just sitting there. We use that to
right.
pay teachers. We use that to pay increasing tank care costs. We use that to maintain the
but
actual
buildings. For the time
buildings.
Being, anyway, and we seem to have a general revenue tax structure that is capable of producing a fairly consistent and growing now surplus now that we've lowered taxes.
But then it should use the things that it should be used for the things that it traditionally does, which is handling tank care growth, mm-hmm. which is paying teachers more, which I
right.
think we would all agree that teachers need to be paid more. So, I mean, and
it is possible that a tax system can be productive enough that you can eventually lower it, and it will continue to meet the needs, and that's what people are thinking.
And that's
we
what
can
the
do with everything but the.
And that's what the governor's proposed, is a sales tax decrease and cutting the tax on F&E for manufacturers, which we believe will create jobs. Actually, the governor had a conversation with a company 2 days ago that
there needs to take a break, and then we'll come back and finish that and go to Barry Dawson. I'm sorry. We have to do this to people on radio all the time. We don't like it either, but we
hate
to.
It. We hate it, but a lot more conversation to come right here on Super Talk, 99.7 WTN. It is Super Talk, 99.7 WTN, Dan Mandis Show, live from the WTN Performance Studio, talking about everybody's favorite topic, the gas tax. I think so far it's been a really good conversation. We've got a...
Except they hate it when you just refer to it as the gas tax.
Yes.
Because it's more than that.
It's complex. That's why we're doing it. So we were speaking of complexity, we were wrapping up the last segment talking about indexing. So
and Representative Barry Doss, Chairman of the House Transportation Committee, wanted to make a point on that.
Yeah, and to cut it simple, if the economy grows like we all expect it to grow, it's going to be a 1 cent gas tax every 2 years. That's basically what it is. It's my opinion, and I think I can't speak for all up here, but I can speak for most. Most of us feel that any tax should never be raised unless it is absolutely necessary. None of us want to pass a perpetual tax increase on to anyone, but it is necessary now. That's why we're here having this discussion with a conservative-controlled legislature. But 5-10 years down the road, guys, we need the wrath of Andy Ogles on us if we do this again. So, you know, it should not be done.
All right, have
another question from the audience or comment.
Yes, my name is Larry Swindle, and Representative Doss, naturally he's going to be for it because he owns a paving company.
Uh-huh.
Also, let me thank Lieutenant Governor Ramsey for lowering the taxes because we are a great state, and we are in a surplus, and hey, it seems to me like that's a thing to do instead of raising them.
I think we need to let Representative Doss answer that since it was...
No, I'm responding to that one. I want you to know, guys, I used to depend on paving as part of my profit. There is no profit on paving. Paving is 2% of my company, and I can't compete with the big road builders. I'm small potatoes in Lawrenceburg, Tennessee, and I do not do roads. I will not bid on a road. I do not build any road for anyone. Now, for commercial, I'll build you a subdivision. That's me and you. I do not do work for the state of Tennessee, the city of Lawrenceburg, or Lawrence County. So I hate to correct you so abruptly, but paving is 2% of my company, and I don't do it for government.
All right. Well, Representative Terry or Andy, which one of you wants to go?
I won't let him go first, but I do want to say I don't think that there's any malice here, whether it be the governor or Barry Doss. Let's stick to the facts. The math is on the side of the taxpayer. We have a $1 billion surplus, folks. We don't need new revenue. We need to look at diversifying our stream of income for road funding. So let's stick to the numbers. And it should be pointed out that if we had indexed the gas tax in 1989, it would currently be 42 cents in Tennessee. It would give us the highest gas tax in the South. So, and if you look at TDOT's own numbers, the gas tax is a long-term vehicle, no pun intended, for funding roads is unsustainable. As Dr. Terry and I said the other day, at some point there's going to be a flux capacitor. You can put all your trash in there, and it's just going to zip down the highway. We got to diversify our stream of income. Otherwise, we are going to be raising the gas tax in 5 years, and we're going to be raising the gas tax in 10 years. This is an ongoing cycle if we don't diversify today.
Yeah. Sure.
Go ahead.
I like to speak
Terry and then Ron Ramsey.
I like to speak to the issue of indexing, and this actually
if you look at the tax structure and the way things are right now in the plan, roughly $55 million as far as a food tax cut. But for the average person, that's about all they're going to get. I'm Native American. And even though and there's about 20,000 of us here in Tennessee, and I get emails from them all the time. In fact, I just got an email during this discussion by one. And most Native Americans were, you know, middle class or the working poor. And that's the only thing that that she's going to get out of this would be a food tax cut. But if you look at the amount of tax increase that she's going to get, that's roughly a $330 million increase. So it's a 6-to-1 ratio on her. And so we are talking about, you know, these taxes, whether they're budget neutral, they need to be pocketbook neutral. And so in her case, it's not pocketbook neutral.
And no tax swap can be pocketbook neutral for everybody.
Exactly.
So if there is an increased need for transportation funding, and we've always depended on the gas tax for that, why isn't it fair that even though some people's taxes are going, they're going to have a disproportionate burden, why shouldn't they? They are because they're the ones using more gas than they are groceries.
But to the point as far as indexing, it's a static, static cut for her, but it's a dynamic. It's going to increase over time for her. So, you know, we all say we're conservatives. In fact, we've won 2 years in a row, the American Conservative Union, that they're the most conservative legislature. You know, if we pass an index, there's not going to be a three-peat.
If you index taxes sooner or later, they'll all get to 100% of your money.
Before I get started, I'm going to say indexing's got a tough road to hoe in the legislature. I'm just going to tell you that right now. I think, Dave, that's no secret to Dave, that we have most all of us say, come on, man, if I have to do this, somebody else ought to do it 5 years now or 10 years from now. That's the way I look at it. If I'm making a hard choice, somebody else needs to make a hard
should
choice.
Should never be an easy choice to raise
never,
taxes.
Ever should be an easy
never
choice.
Never be automatic.
It's not a last, I know Andy's a good friend of mine, but how could you say that a tax has gone 28 years without being raised, and yet it's not elastic enough to keep up the economy? That's another whole subject here. But I'm going to tell you right now, just listen to the group. And I understand this completely. This is a hard sell right now. I'm not going to lie to you. We're a victim of our own success.
No matter how fast you talk, it's a hard sell.
Hey, here we go. How did he get home? 800 and a quarter to high. 175. I can talk 90 miles. I can hold up more than 15 minutes. Everybody else can. You know what I mean? But anyway. but it is a hard sell right now because we are a victim of our own success. Because we've been successful in the state of Tennessee, we've cut the taxes, grown the economy, and now we've got this surplus. But that's very temporary. I've been around for a long time. A surplus can turn into a deficit practically overnight.
You guys are predicting another recession in 4 to 5 years with an all Republican Congress and White House. The recession's only happened because the government does stupid things. And his Republican Congress are going to do something stupid in the next 4 years?
Every government in the state of Tennessee does stupid things, except Tennessee, of course, except Tennessee. But we do have this surplus, right? And I understand that the second thing here, where this is a harder sell than usual, is because we still do have good roads. No doubt about that. But that's because we've managed well. We really have. But if you look at construction side versus the maintenance side, almost everything is going into maintenance right now. We want to keep the roads we have very good. You come to my district sometime, I'll give you two examples of roads that need to be built badly, and it's never, ever going to be built if we don't do something like this. Coming out of Mountain City, I represent Mountain City, the northeast corner of the state of Tennessee. They have no access to an interstate highway. We're lucky to get any kind of jobs coming there. We've had some pretty good luck. But Virginia, out of exit 19 on interstate, has actually brought a four-lane down to the Virginia line. We brought it about halfway out of Mountain City up to the Virginia line. There's about a three-mile section that needs to be complete to connect them to the interstate. That's never going to happen if we don't do this. Elizabeth in Tennessee, same thing. To connect them to an interstate road, we're about halfway there. So the bottom line of this is a basic function of government. Government maybe should have never been in health care. You go on and on. It's a basic function of government. And I, again, am a user fee kind of guy. I wish everything we could do was user fee, but it's impossible in some cases. But I'm all in favor of that, and that's the reason I'm for this.
Okay, we have a question from close to the back of the room, all the way back there to the back of the room. Dan Mandis is heading on that way now. And I'll remind the audience that we're going to wrap it up after this segment. If anybody wants to get in a word, get your hand up now quickly so we can try to get to you, okay? Who's next? Go ahead.
My name's Robbie. I'm from Davidson County. I think the biggest issue that everybody is upset with right now is the fact that everybody is saying we have an $800 million surplus, and we're not talking about the fact that we are raising our spending limits. We're continuing to go further in debt. Our highways.
Yeah.
So the GDP is not at a negative 9-point something percent right now, as far as that. Okay.
Okay. Don't please don't talk unless you got a mic in your hand. You got a mic right there in front of you. So if you're going to answer,
for two years in a row, we borrowed zero money. We're one of five states that owe nothing on our roads, and our debt has gone down in the last few years, not up. In a state, the lowest indebted state in the nation. Period.
Okay. Well, like I'm saying, the $800 million is what the people are upset about. If we can fully explain that, then I think that you would get a lot of less pushback when it comes to this issue.
The antithesis of that would be that if we had a deficit and crappy roads, then this would be an easy sale. Is that really where we want to be? Is that really where we want to be?
Well, sometimes you punish yourself with fiscal responsibility because people begin to expect it and more of it. But that's okay. You're not fiscally responsible out of just thin air. You are because the population wants you to be, and you are, and that's a good thing. And we're going to continue to insist that you be. And any time that you suggest to do something that might not look that way, we're going to grill you on it, and that's all we're here for. Yes.
Ralph, if we think there's going to be a recession, why on earth are we growing the size of government, first of all? But may I tell you what some people from my area told me? They asked me, they said, when I look around in my house, I see 95% of the things that are in my house came to me from a truck. Mm-hmm. And when you increase the cost of diesel, you're going to increase the cost of 95% of the things in my house. Plus, you're going to be taking more money out of my pocket. And they look at me and they say, why are you giving me the 1-2 punch? Why are you doing the double whammy on me? And I don't have an answer for them.
Well, one answer is they're going to lower your tax on groceries. So they're going to be, me personally, I'm going to pay about the same amount more taxes than I am going to get back in groceries. It's not very much. There are people that do have, though, disproportionate transportation costs or disproportionate grocery costs, and there are going to be winners and losers. So we need to know why.
And Ralph, also, 2 weeks ago, diesel mm-hmm. tax was 15 cents. I mean, diesel cost was 15 cents greater than it is today. Mm-hmm. Did you see your prices go up? You know, I'm not diminishing. Anytime you raise any more revenue, there is going to be an effect. But it is so negligible that you're not going to detect a price increase. But some of us want to do the F&E taxes across the board to all businesses. So even though I applaud the governor for trying to make manufacturing more competitive to get them, but if we do it across the board, we raise diesel tax, they're going to go up a penny on groceries, and then we lower F&E, they're going to go back down a penny on groceries.
Andy and then Jim Tracy.
Yeah, when it comes to the price of fuel and how it impacts the economy, you know, I've got an article in front of me where Wall Street Journal and the Goldman Sachs did a study. And in 2015, we began to see the decrease in fuel prices. And Goldman Sachs predicted that it added 0.5% to the nation's GDP. So there is actually a direct correlation between fuel prices and the price of services, goods and services. Furthermore, Heritage has done a study. Heritage has done a study, and what they're looking at is a 7-cent gas tax in Tennessee removes $217 million from Tennessee consumers. And so the difference is the gas tax is a micro impact. It's affecting an individual in their pocketbook, whereas the tax cuts on F&E, which we support, are more at the macro level. And so it takes 2 to 3 years for those tax cuts to get back into the economy. And so what do you tell those people who are working class, single moms, that are going to – they're part of this $217 million of expendable income that is taken out of the economy?
What do you tell those people, Jim Tracy?
A couple things. Good point that was brought out, but a couple things. Number one, if where we are in the state of Tennessee, number one, we've got to decide. Everybody at the table says we've got a need for roads. Lieutenant Governor brought out, we are only maintaining what we've got right now. We're not building hardly any new roads. If we want more jobs, and I know Andy and Brian and everybody wants more jobs. I think everybody in here wants more jobs.
I already got more jobs than I want.
Yeah, you do. but if we want to continue the economy to grow, we've got to build new roads. And the only way we can do that, the revenue, everybody says there's a need for additional revenue because we need to do that. So the bottom line is where we are now. Everybody here agrees we need new revenue. Maybe not everybody in the audience, but everybody here agrees we need new revenue. Do we have good public policy to build those new roads?
Audience, and then Dave Smith.
This is Shane again. Yes, we are growing People are moving here every day. Sales tax goes up when those people move here. Jobs are created. So that revenue stream there is going to continue to grow in the short term.
Which means
so, but the thing goes back to is why are we doing what, why is the proposal the way it is? It doesn't make sense to the common folks out in the world, out here busting their butt, trying to live. It doesn't make sense. And then you also you have our Senator Bob Corker, who proposed a 12-cent federal tax on gas. So if we go with through that, how much more of a fuel?
It is going to make sense to the family that buys a lot of groceries and doesn't travel very much because they live close to work, and that's about all they can afford to do. Dave.
I would just say, yes, we are growing, and so that means more wear and tear on our roads. And, yes, when we're growing, it hopefully means more sales tax, which allows the governor and General Assembly, through conservative fiscal leadership, to cut taxes, which is what the governor's proposal does, is you cut taxes over here. We've shrunk the size of government by $500 million. The governor is proposing another $50 million in base reductions in this budget, so that will be $550 million cut out of the state's budget in recurrent and ongoing costs. In addition, working with the General Assembly in the administration, we've already cut $270 million in taxes. And in this proposal with the Improve Act, we're cutting an additional $270 million. So we're doubling. Just to put it in for reference sake, that is nine times more than any other previous governor or General Assembly working together have ever done. So the governor and General Assembly have obviously shown the fiscal nine times. The fiscal discipline to cut costs and streamline government and also return that money to the taxpayer. And so when we, anyways.
Audience.
One more question from
one more question for the audience.
Hello, I'm Jerry Lowry. I'm a city alderman at in Sparta, Tennessee, and Senator Bailey is my senator. And a couple, one thing I've noticed in talking to business owners in Sparta, there's no business owner is willing to assume an increase in taxes. So we know that that's going to go up, and it's case in point has been made. So my question is directly to Senator Paul Bailey and to Andy Ogle. Number one, will you commit with the trucking company, if this passes, that you will not put a surcharge on your product when you're transferring around? And secondly, could you explain in depth how the Americans for Prosperity and the user fee issue, would that work in this case?
Senator Bailey, quickly, and then Dan will tell us when we have to get out of here.
Well, all trucking companies, we go by the Department of Energy from Washington on a regional or national average as far as fuel cost is concerned. And obviously, if there is an increase, that's going to factor into the weekly national average.
Okay.
Yes, sir. You know, when you look at the taxes that have been cut in Tennessee over the last 10 or so years, keep in mind, Bredesen had a $28 billion budget. Now we have a $37 billion budget. So there's a heck of a lot of room to be cutting taxes. And so that shouldn't, that is an expectation we as taxpayers should have. And this issue of a user fee, if you assume that infrastructure roads should be paid for by user fee, then mass transit should be paid for by user fee. High-speed rail should be paid for by user fee. Education, which is a capital expense by the state, should be paid for by user fee. None of that's going to work. So you can't singularly apply the user fee concept because we know it's already unsustainable in all of these areas of government. It's time to diversify our funds. And look, you can call it a consumption tax, a sin tax, a user fee. You can call it whatever you want. But you put lipstick on a pig and it's still a pig. This is taxpayer money. It's time to give it back.
Pushed out of the room. Dave, one last word from Dave Smith. And then
People have talked about growing government, and I'll just go back to our point that we've cut $500 million in recurring expenses going forward, and we're proposing and cutting another in total $540 million. And so what this does, and yeah, we're talking about $217 million, raising $217 million in gas tax, you are buying a product for that money. You are buying your roads.
I know we had all the right people in the room, the public, the legislature, the advocates for and against, the governor's office. Thank all of you for participating. And Dan Mandis, take it away.
I got just a couple questions. Very quickly, Andy Ogles, how can more people find out about your organization?
To AFPTN.org, AFPTN.org. And I would encourage you, this is a good debate to have because, again, we have the surplus. Call your legislator. Be polite, but call your legislator because when we get engaged, that's what our founding fathers wanted, we win. We beat Medicaid expansion twice. We beat Common Core in Tennessee. We forced the repeal of the Hall income tax. We beat the gas tax last year. If you help us, we will win.
All right.
Anybody? Thank you, Dan, for letting us have your show.
Very good. Well, thank you. I think it's a great conversation. I'm heading back upstairs to continue my show. Everybody, thanks for coming. We'll see you next time on Super Talk 99.7 WTN.
When you save money, you should be rewarded. And with the Start Smart Savings Program from U.S. Bank, you are, like this.
I started making my own coffee.
Delicious. You deserve a reward.
I buy everything on sale. Everything.
You deserve a reward. I don't go to the movies. I act them out in the comfort of my own home. Rewards.
I buy our groceries and cook all our meals, but I talk in an accent while I cook so it seems fancier.
Also rewards. I take the bus, but I sit real close to the driver and pretend I'm driving. Strange, but still, rewards. Now you can get rewards by saving just like you normally do with the Start Smart Savings Program. Automatically transfer money from checking to savings and earn rewards, like $50 when you save $500 in 1 year and a 1% bonus up to $50 on all net gas and grocery purchases made with your U.S. Bank debit card. Call 855-236-SAVE. Visit a local branch or visit usbank.com/startsmart. U.S. Bank, the power of possible. Conditions and eligibility requirements apply. New customers only. For complete program details, see a banker or visit usbank.com/startsmart. Deposit products offered by U.S. Bank National Association, member FDIC.
How will you spend your tax return? Will a new TV or the newest cell phone protect you when the unexpected happens? Wildfires, hurricanes, tornadoes, earthquakes? You and your family could be left helpless, waiting for a slow-acting FEMA to come to your rescue. In a disaster, local store shelves are emptied in just hours. Your tax return is your chance to be wise and be ready with Wise Food Storage. Wise Food Storage provides affordable, ready-made gourmet meals with a 25-year shelf life. Just add water and your family is eating delicious food instead of fighting for scraps in a food riot. Try it free. Order a no-obligation free sample meal delivered right to your front door. And for a limited time, make the most of your tax return. Place your order and get a huge 20% discount and free shipping. This big discount ends soon. Once done, you're set for 25 years. Be wise. Be ready with Wise Food Storage. Call now. 800-759-4492. 800-759-4492. 800-759-4492.
JJ Hightail here for Direct Auto Insurance. What's a bigger surprise than learning you have a long-lost twin you've never met? Learning that with Direct Auto Insurance, you can get a super low rate and a super low down payment starting at just $29 for a limited time. Why wait? Get insured now. Stop by a Direct Auto location, call 1-877-GO-DIRECT, or visit directgeneral.com today. Direct General Group, Nashville, Tennessee. Rates vary, down payments will vary. In Florida, BI is required to qualify. Amount down does not reduce premium owed. Additional fees may apply. How you buy can impact cost.
Stematic of Middle Tennessee knows everything about mold and crawl spaces. If you think you have an issue, I would like to give you a free written estimate on your crawl space encapsulation system and mold abatement. With warranties, call 256-7447 today.
This Valentine's Day, forget the night out. Transform your bedroom into a luxury suite with Boll & Branch sheets. I'm Scott Tannen, founder of Boll & Branch. Our organic cotton sheets feel incredible, look great in your bedroom, and arrive beautifully packaged. Try them for 30 nights. If you're not impressed, send them back for a full refund. Right now, get $50 off your first set of sheets plus free shipping at bollandbranch.com with promo code SLEEP, spelled B-O-L-L and branch.com. Promo code SLEEP.
Get yourself big game ready with huge savings from Electronic Express. A 40-inch 4K UHD TV, just $199. All TVs are on sale. Get up to 36 months free financing, free delivery on any TV 60 inches or larger. Items available while supplies last.
WWTN, Hendersonville, Nashville.
From the Busy Bee Heating and Air Conditioning Studio. Information fueled. Opinion driven. Super Talk 99.7.
Good afternoon. It is 2 o'clock. I'm Pamela Furr with your top stories.
One of our officers, close to 20 years of service, lost his life this morning while saving a life.
Metro Police Chief Steve Anderson this morning holding back tears after learning Officer Eric Mumaw drowned in the Cumberland River after trying to save the life of a suicidal woman.
I can't tell you how much I appreciate the fire department being here, OEM, everybody joining in the search.
It was a Nashville Fire Department diver who recovered Officer Mumaw's body. The woman was able to make it to shore and was listed in stable condition at a hospital. She is being detained by police because she may have been impaired at the time of the incident.
Nashville Mayor Megan Berry says the courthouse, other buildings, and Korean Veterans Bridge will be lit up in blue tonight in his honor. She said in a statement that Officer Mumaw dedicated his life to the protection and safety of us all and gave his life to that calling. The police department says Officer Mumal was given the department's life-saving award in April of 2011. Ken Weaver, WTN News.
In other news, House Speaker Paul Ryan is rejecting the notion that President Trump's immigration order is a religious test or a Muslim ban. Ryan says the U.S. wants to prevent what happened in Paris to not happen here.
The bill we passed last year, if you recall, after the Paris shooting, it became clear to us that, one of the terrorists infiltrated the refugee population coming from Syria. So we wanted to make sure that that didn't happen here in this country. That's just sort of like national security 101.
Meanwhile, President Trump is putting a spotlight on what he is calling the power of faith.
Our republic was formed on the basis that freedom is not a gift from government, but that freedom is a gift from God.
Speaking at the National Prayer Breakfast in D.C., Trump also paid tribute to fallen Navy SEAL William Ryan Owens. Owens was killed during a weekend raid in Yemen. Trump said the U.S. owes Owens and his family an eternal debt. Turns out Melania and Barron Trump will be in Washington, D.C. After all, ABC News reports the First Lady will move into the White House this summer when 10-year-old Barron is out of school for the year. A senior advisor says the family will split their time between Washington and New York from there on out. Melania's team is spreading the word after rumors emerged yesterday that Melania and Barron were considering permanently staying in their lofty Manhattan penthouse. That is the latest news brought to you by DeSelm's Real Estate. Beat the spring rush. Get their free report on the 96 ways to sell your home fast by calling 615-550-5565. We are Nashville, NashvilleHomes.com. Next news at 2:30 when it breaks. I'm Pamela Furr, WTN News. Here's traffic from the Genesis Diamonds, WTN Traffic Center with Sarah Chase.
Construction is causing a slowdown this hour on 24 eastbound between I-40 and Shelby Avenue. Expect delays at the intersection of 12th Avenue South at Division Street due to a collision. In Lakewood, the crash that had been tying up traffic on Old Hickory Boulevard near Chute Lane has cleared. And in Belmont, a collision continues to tie up traffic at the intersection of 8th Avenue South at Wedgewood Avenue. I'm Sarah Chase with Right Now Traffic on 99.7 WTN.
From the Beacon Capital Management Weather Center, here's your forewarn weather forecast.
A mix of clouds and sunshine overhead for the rest of the day. Temperatures, though, aren't going to warm up a whole lot. Only mid to upper 40s, and it's going to be a bit breezy. That wind out of the north around 10 to 15 miles an hour. Temperatures tonight drop down to below freezing. We only warm up to the low 40s on Friday. A cold start Saturday morning with lows around 20, but then we warm up to near 50 degrees by the time Saturday afternoon rolls around. I'm forewarned meteorologist Paul Hagan on Supertalk 99.7 WTN.
Hey, did you make it out to Gumbo Sunday at Amber Falls Winery? It's on the last Sunday of every single month, and there's all kinds of fun stuff going on for Gumbo Sundays at Amber Falls Winery. I tell you what, they've got live music going on, and that usually happens between 1 and 5 o'clock in the afternoon. They have gumbo being served from 12:30 to 3 o'clock on Gumbo Sundays. And so it's nice that it's a little cold because you get something warm like gumbo. And the winery will be open from 12:30 to 6 o'clock every single Gumbo Sunday. And again, it is the last Sunday of every month. And so even when the weather turns cold, there's still some great things going on. At Amber Falls Winery, they've got all kinds of great winter blends you can try as well. I'm here to tell you, folks, if you have people coming in from out of town, Amber Falls Winery is the place you want to go. They've got an outstanding wine cellar. They've got amazing blends of wine. And again, it's Gumbo Sunday, the last Sunday of every month. You can check it all out at amberfallswinery.com.
G'day, I'm Dr. Friday, president of Dr. Friday's tax and financial firm. To get more info, go to www.drfriday.com. This is a one-minute moment. Preparing your own taxes. Sure, you can prepare your own taxes, but understand, if you don't do them correctly, the answers could lead to jail terms, heavy fines, or unnecessary high tax burdens. So make sure that you know what you're doing. I can't repair my own car. I certainly wouldn't operate on myself. So think about when you're preparing your own taxes, are you answering the questions and maximizing your tax deductions in the right way? If you need help with this, all you have to do is pick up the phone, 615-367-0819, or go to drfriday.com and set up your appointment for your taxes today.
You can catch the Dr. Friday Call-In Show live every Saturday afternoon from 2 to 3 p.m. right here on 99.7 WTN.
Get the volume advantage only at FreelandChevy.com.
Information-fueled, opinion-driven. This is the Dan Mandis Show, Supertalk 99.7.
206 on Supertalk 99.7. WTN, it is the Dan Mandis Show, back up here in the studio where I'm used to being.
Welcome home.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Very nice people down there, though. A lot of nice
suits.
People.
A lot of suits.
Yeah, we missed you up here.
Yes, man. There was a... You know what? Could somebody just clue me in when I'm supposed to wear a tie? Because I was the only one down there that didn't have a tie and didn't have a jacket on. Nobody told me I was supposed to wear a tie. Do I blame Ralph or do I blame the boss around here? It's probably...
That'd be
me.
Yeah.
So... All right.
Well,
listen,
I mean, you know...
At least I wore a button-up shirt. It's got a collar on it, and there's no stain.
All right, can we tell the secret, though? You changed your clothes.
Oh, thank you, Pamela. I did. I changed my clothes.
I had to reveal the truth. We deal in truth around here.
How did you know that I changed my clothes? I came in.
I'm not stalking you, but.
Oh, no. Uh-huh. I came in. I was wearing some nice slacks and a T-shirt. What's so funny? Am I not supposed to use the term slacks now? Is that stupid? Whatever.
And you were wearing your skull cap.
And I was wearing my God, it was cold down there. Yep. I didn't want to wear my skull cap in front of everybody because I'm kind of self-conscious about it. But I should have, because my head was cold.
It would have looked even more. I mean, you would have looked odd.
Even more odd.
I didn't say that.
Listen, you
no,
can
I
say
did
it.
Not.
It's okay.
I didn't.
No problem at all.
That's no, but
all
here's
good.
The thing: if there are politicians involved,
probably
wear a tie.
Right,
yeah. Because they'll probably show up in a tie.
Is it wrong to say that I...
Especially during session.
Listen, I just wanted to be a rebel. That's what it was.
You didn't look like a rebel.
No?
No.
All right.
No. I mean, you were fine because you were busy. You were in the crowd. You were the guy. You were the Donahue guy.
I was the Donahue guy. Mm-hmm. I almost tripped over somebody